your exclusive home of the Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Arizona Sports brings you exclusive coverage of the team's minicamp.
Mandatory minicamp with Doug and Wolf.
Presented by Courtesy Chevrolet.
Well, this is one of those easy conversations, and I'll tell you why. Chase Edmonds has been best friends with the Doug and Wolf show for at least the last 15 seconds. And yet already an engaging kid, and if you're a Cardinals fan, I think you're going to like watching him run the rock. Call 602-379-0102 or visit azcardinals.com for Cardinals season tickets. And Chase, this is what has been this like to come from Fordham, not really, I would say, a football factory.
Right.
However, to my knowledge, I think there have been two players that have been drafted in the history of Fordham, and they were both by the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
History repeats itself. Yep.
But yeah, so there you go. But tell us, how has the transition been from FCS? Granted, you haven't been lit up and hit yet,
yeah.
But from FCS to being a player on the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, yeah, like you said, right now we're in underwear right now, and I think a lot of things that are going on in my mind is just really knowing what to do. And I think that's the most important aspect of OTAs and minicamp, knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. And then once training camp comes, you know, you got to know how to do it physically and really just fill out those voids and fill out what's the difference between FCS, obviously, yep. and the big leagues. But it's been a tremendous opportunity for me right now, a tremendous learning opportunity to be able to see how the game progresses as you go on in the higher levels. And I'm just soaking it all in right now, man. I'm staying on myself and just trying to do my business.
How confident are you right now, Chase, with your abilities
right.
stacking up, right? I mean, again, no offense to you, no offense to Fordham,
yeah.
of course, but this is the National Football League,
oh, yeah,
man.
Yeah.
How are your abilities?
And yeah, I've always been that underdog guy. I've always played that underdog role, and I love it because I just look at it as I put myself in a position to prove myself right and not prove other people wrong. I believe
it. No way.
Okay. Right here.
Jason, this is bad news for us because
yes!
Wolf gives this big
yes!
speech
yeah.
probably twice a month
yes!
with, no, that exact, with that exact yes! point, and we just think Wolf's crazy.
Yeah.
And have you say, were you coached? Did somebody come in and say, Chase,
nah,
say this?
Just, that's one thing. I remember growing up, and it was like I was always filled with revenge of proving other people wrong. And then one of my good high school coaches sat me down and he said, look, man, you know, I see that it fills you with such motivation to prove people wrong. But he says, you need to have such confidence in your ability that you're just doing nothing but proving yourself right. And that really was just an interesting aspect, interesting point to me. So ever since, I kind of just... I don't worry about what the man next to me can do. I worry about what I can do.
So,
all right, you're my favorite player.
I was going to say, I'm trying to beat you to that. We're talking to Chase Edmonds, Ron Wolfley's favorite player here on the Doug and Wolf Show. You're in speaking of staying to your business,
yes.
you're in this weird position where you have known David Johnson for like a few months in your life. You have absolutely nothing to do with David Johnson's holdout of minicamp, yet you're the one that all of us now in the media are going to come to because it affects you so dramatically.
Right.
What are you doing in this mini camp since David Johnson isn't here?
I'm just trying to take as much advantage to the opportunity that I have right now. I think it's tremendous for me in my position just because it gives me a chance to really get more reps, one, and the game to slow down for me. And while I have that chance, I need to take full advantage of it. I understand whenever that situation gets handled, everything's going to go back to normal. I'm going to have to slow the game down again and just really chop at the wood and just continue to grind. But right now, my focus is just showing the coaches that whenever my time does come, that whenever Dave comes back, obviously he's the bell cow, but I want them to have confidence in me that I can get the job done and they trust me as well.
Because, Chase, it's not normal for a fourth-round pick out of
right.
Fordham to suddenly be in the same huddle when you're looking at Sam Bradford and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes, sir.
That
right.
that quickly at a mini camp when they're supposed to be a number one guy. Did Larry say anything to you in your huddle or anything like
I remember,
that?
Yeah, I remember yesterday, actually. It was I think I did a route. We were doing routes on air. And he kind of just brought me under his shoulder. And obviously, I think Larry knows his impact to other players. And I'm still trying to get over the hump of not being a fan.
Right.
But just him telling me, you know, he said, look, man, you're in a unique situation. Take full advantage of it. Not too many guys outside of first-round picks and second-round picks are in the situation that you're in right now. And those words meant so much to me, man. Just to have a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, say that to me. And, you know, say he's taking note of what I'm doing. I'm just trying to continue to stack on days. And obviously, I have bad days as well. But Coach Kirby always talks about it, that it's a good thing. You know, it's a learning opportunity. I put it in the memory bank. And as long as I'm not a mistake repeater, we can always continue to progress and get better.
So yesterday I was watching practice, and I saw you come out and run an option route. That was just filthy.
Yes, sir.
It was a nasty option route. Talk to me about Fordham and what you did at Fordham. Were you a receiver as much as you were a running back? Because that isn't the scouting report I got
yes.
on you.
Well, I was. I mean, in my first 3 years, I had 800 and some change of receiving yards.
Yes.
And then, you know, with the senior year, I kind of had the injuries. But I think the one thing about Coach McCoy's offense is that it truly puts the running back in the slot. Like at Fordham, a lot of my routes were always outside of the backfield, just in the backfield.
Right.
But here, it gives me advantage to really get in the slot and show my versatility, and I'm loving it right now.
So you're good at this, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you.
Well, yeah. When I did my pro day, I didn't do not one single running back rep. I wanted to show all teams that I was so capable of being at slot that if a team felt like, all right, well, this guy doesn't fit our schematics to run inside the tackle, wow, well, he's damn good at running out of
right.
the slot.
So you knew you were up against that perception.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, sir.
Now, one of the stories that just exploded after the draft is you had said after the draft, and it's amazing that this is even a local story, that your sister, she went to NC State, if I have the story right.
Right.
Then came out here,
yep.
ASU for her
masters.
Grad school work,
yes,
for her master's, and then she owes about $80,000 or so in student loans.
Yes, sir.
And you announced on draft day you want to step up and pay for that, but you said she didn't know. Like, when did she find out? Did she find out when you said it at the presser? Did you call her? Take us through after you announced to us before you talked to her about it.
She more so found out. So when that story got published a little bit, she had a couple friends send her screenshots of the article, and that's when she found out about it. He's like, Chase, what is this? And, you know, and,
is that what she sounds like?
I get kind of, you know, I'm not really
good
at
the character right there. I love it.
But, you know, she told me that, and I'm so glad she didn't overreact or, like, cry or burst into tears, because it had been way too dramatic for me. But it's something that I've always wanted to do for my sister. I've always told myself that if I ever made it to this level, man, that my mother, my father, my daughter, my sister, no matter what the situation was, we're going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And, you see so many stories of guys going broke, whatever the case may be, spending stuff on lavish lifestyles. And I just want to make sure that I can take care of my immediate family, because no matter what, those people have always been in my corner, and they're my cornerstone.
Mm-hmm. I think you just grabbed at least 95% of the city of Phoenix and put them behind you. And you're not carrying them on your shoulders, but they're going to try to carry you with that story.
So
how's she doing? We don't even know what's the next step for her.
So my mom is moving out to Arizona, and she planned to retire out here before I even got drafted.
Really?
Yeah, to come out here with my sister. They're literally on the road right now. They spent the night in Tennessee.
Oh.
So they drove from the driver from New Jersey, got a moving van, got my mom's car strapped up to the trailer, and they spent the night in Nashville, Tennessee last night, and they're taking a 10-hour drive to Dallas, and they'll stay in Dallas tonight, and then they'll continue on, I think the next destination, maybe like El Paso, maybe, or something like that.
But
a little road trip.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I'm walking around the sidelines, of course, at practice, and from time to time I get the opportunity to talk to a scout. I get the opportunity to talk to a coach from to time. And the things they're saying about you, it's truly impressive. You ought to be encouraged, and I'm sure you probably are encouraged. But how does that translate to special teams and playing on special teams?
Yeah, I take special teams in full pride, you know, and I understand my role. And I've always told scouts going into the combine process that one thing you're going to get with Chase Edmonds is you're going to get a guy who understands his role and it will do his job to the best of his ability. And whatever that role is that you guys want me to do, I will do it to the best of my ability. So right now, I'm trying to focus on punt. I'm trying to focus in on kickoff especially. I'm trying to focus in on KR. Whatever I can do to get on that field and help the team is what I'm really going to do.
That's pick 134 in the NFL draft. That's probably moved up to one of your top five favorite players in the NFL after you heard Chase Edmonds join us. Great to meet you. Class
great
kid.
You.
Tell your
appreciate
parents
you
they did a great job.
Thank
right
you so
on,
much.
Absolutely.
You
good
yes,
to meet you. Good to
good
meet you.
You.
And if again, with kids like that in town, don't you want to go get season tickets? Visit azcardinals.com or call 602-379-0102 for your opportunity to see more of Chase Edmonds. Coming up next, despite a late rally, the Diamondbacks didn't pull off the sweep. What went wrong? And who are the D-backs picking to win the U.S. Open? Ha! That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. D-backs a 5-4 loser yesterday. Mets in town, four-game series starts tonight. If you're not doing anything this weekend, find a way to get to dbacks.com. Find a way to get to a game, because it's only a two-game lead over the hated Dodgers, so keep an eye on that. We also have our an event going on today at 4 o'clock, Countdown to 1, in which we've got our Suns Roundtable, Burns and Gambo, Dan Bickley from Bickley and Murata, and ASU's own Eddie House, world champion Eddie House.
Yes.
They're all going to be in studio to focus on the Suns picking at number one. The draft is a week from today.
Oh, my goodness.
We are 1 week away from either yelling like crazy because it's DeAndre Ayton or staring down Ryan McDonough for the rest of his tenure with that, you better be right, when he chooses Bagley or Doncic or somebody else and has us all freaking out. And then is there a chance they're going to trade up and get another pick on top of it? There's so many options to talk about, and that'll be from 4 to 5 with our second countdown to 1. Now there's the question, if you want to go see the draft.
Yes.
It's the Chosen Son Ultimate Draft Experience.
This is what we do. You know what? I should change that. This is what you do. You text DRAFT to 620-620. And then we pull out a name at 7:15, 12:15, and 4:15 every day. So far, the Doug and Wolf Show is 0 for 3. Burns and Gambo, they are 1 for 3.
Damn.
This has to change. We need one. So, John Mullen, you got to call right now. John, we're not losing today. John, you got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. Do not call and say you're John Mullen if you're not John Mullen, because we know John Mullen's information, and we ask you to verify who you are. You will not get it right. You do not know John's email address unless you are John Mullen. John, if you call in the next 9.5 minutes, you get a 2018 Phoenix Suns draft hat, and you have a qualifying spot for the trip to the draft. However, keep listening in the next beautiful part of the program, because if John is a miserable, abject failure, well, then you can steal his spot if he doesn't call in the next 10 minutes. John, you're down to 9 minutes. Call 602-260-9870. I understand this phrase. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I understand this phrase by a manager, because you're kind of rewarding your guys for the fact that they never quit, down 5-2, going into the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Diamondbacks put two on the board and then load the bases with two outs, and they can't come through. Jake Lamb, strikeout. It was a battle strikeout. It wasn't unprepared, just three whiffs and go sit down. He fought, he battled, lots of foul balls, almost every pitch above 98 miles an hour. Strike three would have been a called strike if he didn't try to hit it, and he swung right through it. But he was there, he was fighting, and the manager wanted to give the boys credit. This is Torrey Lovello.
One of those games, unfortunately, I feel like we ran out of time and ran out of innings. We were closing the gap quickly and, you know, added on a couple runs in the ninth and had some really nice approaches. So I was happy to see that, and, you know, made that ninth inning very, very exciting by not shutting down and being engaged and getting runners on base. Like I said, we just ran out of time.
What's so interesting about it, just think back to May and the difficulties of May right there. If, in fact, the Diamondbacks had gotten down 5-2 in a game, mm-hmm. would you have had any hope whatsoever that they were capable of coming back and actually winning that game? The question is no, of course. There's no way that would happen right there. That's the great thing about it, that May is over and June is here once again. The Diamondbacks are capable of exploding and putting up such a grotesque, crooked number. Are they not, Pirates? We've seen that in this series as well, a 5 and a 4. They are capable, and that is the thing that I was so filled with joy about watching that game and the close of that game, just the fact that May is over and June is here.
Now, in this game, the Diamondbacks weren't able to come through, and it stunk. The offense did nothing against Tyone at all. Even the two-run homer in early in the game bounced through a glove over the fence into the crowd. So that's not really – I mean, the pitcher did give up a long fly ball, but come on, that's got to be caught. Yet, you look at Zach Greinke in that second inning, and Torrey, what happened there?
Zach, unfortunately, didn't have his best stuff today. I know it was a 40-pitch second inning where he gave up several runs. There were some key blows there. I think the Mercer pitch might have been an 0-2 pitch, breaking ball mistake that he paid for.
Once again, I was so disappointed. The biggest disappointment was the fact that Zach Greinke going into that game. I mean, stop and think about it. You've already won the series. It's game three of this series. You're playing a team that had a 6-18 record since May 17th. Never forget that. The Pirates right now are the Diamondbacks from May. They're in a swoon of biblical proportion right now. You're playing at home, right? You have your ace on the mound, who, by the way, has pitched incredibly well at home at Chase Field. Everything stacked up, and I will admit it, I had the acorn out, and I was spinning that W, that win, in my hand. And the goodness, you just knew they were going to sweep. And this is the reason why you can never affront the athletic process. Never forget that, my brothers. You can never affront the athletic process. And the Pirates, give them credit. They got to Zach Greinke, blew him up in the second inning, and scored four runs on him. Give them credit.
Now, the big question on everybody's mind. Bear, has John Mullen called in yet? He's down to about 5 minutes.
He has not called in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is not good.
John, we're down to 5 minutes, but that means you as a listener keep listening, because coming up at a little after 7:30, if we haven't heard from John Mullen, then you can steal his spot. Right now, if you went in on it, text the word draft to 620-620. Got to get to this, because I admit I'm jacked up for it. I can't wait to watch it like crazy today. Right now, Matt Kuchar in the lead at 2 under par with Ian Poulter and Charlie Hoffman, Aaron Baddeley, Scott Piercy. He was right there at 1 under par. And yet, you know, we're all keeping our eye on Phil Mickelson. And I heard a cool stat. Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods. If you want to include the players,
yes,
as pretty close, we know it's not a major, but pretty close, there's only two people that have ever won the career Grand Slam and the players, and that's Jack and Tiger. And Phil, once again, trying to be number three on that list and obviously complete the career Grand Slam.
I love the challenge. I mean, I really love the challenge, and I love that I have another opportunity to try and complete the career Grand Slam. My goal, though, is not to try to win it on Thursday. My goal is to kind of stay in it Thursday, stay in it Friday, and have an opportunity for the weekend. So I'm not really thinking about winning right now. I'm thinking about getting in it for the weekend. But certainly the final leg for me in completing the Grand Slam is this event.
I love that phrase. Don't lose it on Thursday. You know, just you try to win it over the weekend. But here's the problem. He teed off on 10. So that was his first hole today. Mm-hmm. He tees off on 10. He's through 7, and he's already at 4 over.
That's not good.
4 over in his first 7 holes. He's in a threesome of Rory, Jordan Spieth, and him. Now, how do you not want to walk around with that group? Yet, Phil Mickelson sitting at 4 over par through his first 7.
It's just got to be so difficult. All these second place finishes, the penultimate finishes that Phil Mickelson has had at the U.S. Open. I mean, he can't come to this kind of tournament and actually have positive feelings. He can't, and especially at Shinnecock, where he blew. I don't want to say that, ladies and gentlemen. He kind of hit a couple of bad shots. Let's put it that way. Down the stretch in the final round, and suddenly he was no longer a potential winner of the U.S. Open. Let's put it that way. So to me, again, he can't have great memories. He can't. I remember what it used to be like playing in certain stadiums across the NFL, right? I can tell you right now, there were some places you'd walk in and you felt really, really good. It's kind of like in Major League Baseball as well, right? A guy that goes out on the road, somebody like Goldie that has dominated Chavez Ravine, right? And the Giants, AT&T Park as well. I mean, look, some places you just feel good. The biorhythms are flowing, right? And there are places on the converse that don't feel as good. And I would imagine for Phil, this tournament at this golf course in particular can have positive vibes.
So we're at day 3 of Cardinals minicamp. Did we have a Cardinals quarterback winner for game 1 and game 2, or the practices? We talked to Sam Bradford about being the mentor and yet still trying to be a winner. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Duggan Wolf Live, Cardinals headquarters. minicamp. Last day of the Cardinals working part of the offseason. And then it's the rest, hopefully stay in shape portion of the offseason after today until day one of Cardinals training camp in late July.
How about that?
So we got that going on. You've got a great opportunity on your drive home today to find out everything that you want to know about what is best for the Phoenix Suns from guys that know. Dan Bickley, world champion Eddie Howe, Sun Devil, Burns and Gambo. Countdown to one, Suns Roundtable is from 4 to 5 today. And then 5 to 6 leading into Diamondbacks Mets with Burns and Gambo. And then 6:40 today, first pitch, as you just heard at Call Me Maloney tell you in the update that the Suns will be, that the Diamondbacks will be home against the Mets to start a four-game series. Now, we've got our opportunity for you as well to go to the draft. If you're kind of interested in actually seeing history and you'd like to go to the draft, we would like to send you. And we called out John Mullen, and his 10 minutes are up. Bear, did John Mullen call in?
He did not, which means he is a
loser.
Oh.
Wow.
There's no call for that. No.
Not only are you guys going with full names, now you're throwing in nicknames and derogatives. I mean, yes. What's going on over here?
John the Loser Mullen did not call in. So now, you know what? Since we're going to talk about Sam Bradford, Bradford's number 9, let's do that. Bear, do me a favor. Hang up on everybody, because you know there's a bunch of freeloaders that tried to call in early. Hang up on everyone and take caller number 9 right now. Caller number 9 at 602-260-9870. You will take John's hat right off his head.
Work, Bear.
And you get a Suns draft hat, and now you will be qualified to go to New York, win $500, two nights in a hotel, transportation to Barclays Center, and then you are watching Suns history as they draft number 1.
Cardinals Mandatory Minicamp with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Courtesy Chevrolet, your exclusive home of the Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Okay, it's weird. Yes, you got paid a lot of money to come in and do a job, but it's still weird that you're staring at another guy and you know the entire organization is waiting for that guy to take your job. We talked to Sam Bradford about talking things over with Josh Rosen.
You know, I'm trying to help him as much as I can. You know, I told him, you know, I sent him a text, you know, after we drafted him, said, listen, you know, I'm here for you. You know, I'm an open book. You know, obviously, you know, I've been through a lot of systems. You know, I've seen a lot of different schemes. And so, you know, if there's anything that I can help him with, you know, I hope that he asks. You know, he's done a great job about asking questions on the field in the meeting room. You know, hopefully I've been able to give him, you know, some nuggets and some things that I've learned over the course of my career.
It's interesting. I just looked over at the television. You can understand we're at Cardinals headquarters, so the televisions are on NFL Network. And the first thing that's said on the scroll, I mean, think about how big it is for fantasy football players that David Johnson isn't here.
Yeah.
So that's the number one story for a lot of people. And yet, the number one story as they talked Cardinals minicamp on NFL Network was the quarterback competition between Rosen and Bradford. I mean, there it was right there. The own network of the NFL is saying there's a quarterback competition going on right here. And no one's hiding from that fact.
Well, the NFL Network has had a reporter there all week. And there was a big session with Josh Rosen yesterday. And one of the questions was, well, how ready are you?
I think I'm very ready. I don't know if I'm ready to play a game yet. I'm trying to get ready for these practices.
So it's interesting. Just that little clip there, that initial answer. I mean, you hear the confidence, but he's not cocky. He realizes he has a lot to learn. And Wolf, get ready for this, because we're watching practice yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And you cited a certain play. And here's what Rosen said when he was asked about the difference the NFL against NCAA and what he's noticed so far.
It hasn't been a big speed change. The biggest is just schematic. I mean, like, out there we're bluffing cover 0 and it dropped 8. And, like, in my head I'm just like, how did they do that?
Wolf, did you not call that out when it happened?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Once again, you know, listen, I understand there's a lot of people out there that think it is a real possibility that Josh Rosen is going to start week one. I unless there's an injury to Sam Bradford, I don't see that happening under any circumstances whatsoever. And honestly, I hope he continues to get the opportunity to stand on the sideline and watch Sam Bradford go about his business. Now, listen, after four games, five games, six games, seven games, somewhere in there in the first half of the season, if in fact the Cardinals aren't winning games and they're struggling, I would love to see Josh Rosen get the opportunity like everybody else. But I just want him, just tell me that he's going to be able to go into September and learn, because he's going to be given the opportunity to learn a ton of what it takes to be an NFL quarterback in September.
I love that he just asked, how did they do that? I mean, I know a lot of you know football, but we want everybody to love the game. And so what he's saying is, cover zero is basically what? If you don't have someone you're covering, you're coming. And then that means get rid of the ball, and they're in man-to-man, so that means there's no worry. If that receiver beats his man, you can throw it to him. And yet,
just bring everybody.
Then he said, but they dropped eight. That means as soon as you try to get rid of it early, you're probably throwing it into a window that's not there. And he's saying, how did they do that? And it's cool that in talking to Sam Bradford today, he completely understands he's here to win football games and to bring Josh Rosen along.
You know, I think I understand my role and what my job is on this team. By no means does that mean I'm not going to go out and give it everything that I have on the field. You know, I'm preparing myself to go out there and play at a high level. But, I'm still going to give everything I can to Josh and try to help him as much as possible.
The coaches are ecstatic, Paulie. They are ecstatic with the quarterback room. And Sam Bradford, of course, is the epicenter of that energy. There's no denying that. When you consider what this team was 2 months ago in the quarterback room, it's ridiculous. That's true. It truly is.
And it's the football IQ in that quarterback room that strikes me. Not only Sam Bradford, and just the fact he told you guys, what, seven or eight systems? I mean, we made such a big deal about Blaine Gabbert a year ago. He's been in as many systems in as many years as Blaine Gabbert. We haven't made that much of a big deal about that. So he's been handling that. Mike McCoy, we know, the football IQ he brings and what he's been able to do with different players and different systems. And then Rosen, the scatter report on him was, big thinker. And if you listen to him yesterday, I mean, tell me this isn't a thinking man's quarterback when they asked him, how has he grown?
I've just been exposed to a lot that I've never really been exposed to before. And it's exciting to get to solve some new puzzles, solve some new challenges, see some blitzes and coverages I've never seen before. And defense has been awesome. I'll ask him some questions and maybe they'll resentfully give me a couple answers.
Translation, he wasn't intellectually challenged in Jim Morris's system at UCLA. We know it's the inferior University of California system anyway.
Oh, please.
I mean,
Paulie,
it was just a simpleton system in college, and he has enjoyed the fact that they've been able to engage and challenge him intellectually.
Do you think Josh Rosen knows where the sun comes up?
Yes, I think he does.
Whether
there's no doubt about that. Right.
Oh,
I think he knows that, number one. But I will say this, once again, think of all the people that said Josh Rosen is the most NFL-ready quarterback there is, because of the offense that he played in as well. They actually cite UCLA's offense. That just proves to you what a game of checkers college football is and chess in the NFL. Not even close.
By the way, congratulations to Stephen Wise. Stephen, you just kicked John Mullen to the curb. You took John Mullen's hat because he wasn't listening. John Mullen, you didn't come prepared today. Steve Wise, you are our winner. Congratulations. You've got a Suns draft hat, and now you are ready for the chance. You've qualified. You might be going to New York City. The next time that you have a chance to qualify for the ultimate draft experience is coming up at 12:15 with Bickley and Murata and 4:15 with Burns and Gambo. If you want to hear your name, step one is to text right now the word draft to 620-620. Coming up next, we talk about the pressure on the quarterbacks, but how about the fact Josh Rosen got pretty banged up in college? We know about the history of Sam Bradford. That means the question for all the offensive linemen: can you keep these quarterbacks upright? Well, let's ask that question to Justin Pugh next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. It's time for story time with Ron Wolfley, something he did not even expect at all. But we're live at Cardinals headquarters today, and offensive lineman Justin Pugh has grabbed a microphone, and he's nice enough to come talk to us for a little bit. And if you don't know the Justin Pugh story, very solid player with the New York Giants, but he decided in life at one point, a very weird decision, to go to Syracuse University.
Indeed.
And Ron Wolfley, the whole world expected poor Wolf to go to Syracuse.
Yes.
And he completely rejected the world.
Yeah.
And it's still
Jim
a sad
Tressel
point.
Actually recruited me The
Did he?
Mad, yeah, Jim Trussell.
What year was it, if you don't mind me asking? You know?
Is it like the early 60s, I think?
I just want to know who you would have been there
exactly.
with.
Exactly. All right. It was 1981, as a matter of fact. It was
you would have been there with Doug Marrone, Bob Brodsky, some of the O-linemen that I
just
know.
Just a long – no, actually, it was Don McPherson. That's who it was, the head coach. So, but my older brother Craig actually went to Syracuse University. So okay, there you go, right there, bada bing, right?
You're from that area.
I'm from Buffalo, New York, as a matter of fact.
We can't let the good players get out of the state. And I meant to say you would have played with Doug Marrone. That's when he was there.
Okay, where are you from originally?
Suburbs of Philadelphia, just north of the city.
Okay, suburbs of Philadelphia.
But then you got to say the suburbs. You can't say
Philly.
You got to say yeah.
So then Wolf didn't want to try to live up to his brother's status, so he went to West Virginia of all places.
Yes, West Virginia.
Burning couches. Throwing batteries at people.
No, just knock it off. The stereotype. What are you doing? You're getting ready to actually go on vacation here. Where are you
going to
go?
I'm going to Florida to train with a former West Virginia strength coach, Mike Barwas.
Oh, is that right? Wow. Are you going to train there? What do you do with the family? Do you take them down? Or
just me and my girlfriend. So she's coming down with me. My family will all be up in Philadelphia area, Jersey Shore, like South Jersey Shore, not the fist pumping Jersey Shore everyone knows.
So I thought
knows.
You were married. You're not married.
No, I'm not married.
Okay, there you go.
Don't put that pressure on me just yet.
27 years old, he wants to live a little bit here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
But that's impressive that we say, where are you going on vacation? And you immediately say, well, I'm going to train. So you're going to Florida, but I'm going to train. How you feeling? How's the body doing?
I feel great. You know, the whole thing coming off last year, coming off a back injury, is just being healthy. And, that, and that's why there's no time to go do anything. Florida's, you know, a great destination. They have the beaches and all that, but I actually think it might be worse weather-wise there right now. It's like 90% humidity and 90 degrees. It's terrible. So I'm leaving a hot place to go to another hot and sticky place. So we'll.
But here's the advantage. As a lineman, you can eat whatever you want in Florida because you actually will lose the weight when you're working out.
So
you don't have to stop.
No, I'm still going to be on my diet. We got to come back with a certain weight. You know,
what is
I don't
the
know.
Weight?
310 to 315, which is my wheelhouse. I'll be fine.
You're going
to
be good there.
I'm not getting over that weight.
What are you right now?
Probably like 311.
Okay.
Yeah,
well done.
I mean, like, not to be specific or anything.
Yeah.
311.5.
Meaning we just checked recently. Justin Pugh, offensive lineman, Arizona Cardinals, joining the Doug and Wolf show. We know that it's true for all 32 teams. But if there's ever a time where people are talking about protecting the quarterback, unfortunately for poor Sam, his middle name is If Healthy, the way everybody talks about Sam Bradford. And even Rosen had some issues in college with injuries. So when you hear that, is it any different than any other job you've ever had as an offensive lineman? Or do you feel it that it's even more important here for the quarterbacks to stay upright?
No, I mean, I think anywhere you go, the importance of keeping the quarterback upright is paramount. And in New York, you know, Eli Manning's the most mobile quarterback, so he's sitting back there as well, and you got to keep him upright. But it's the NFL. I think if you look last year, how many stars got injured, it's a physical game. I mean, people get injured playing football.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the business.
Right.
There's a 100% chance you play football, you're going to sustain some type of injury. So our job is to just minimize any hits on the quarterback, make sure we have a good running game, take pressure off the quarterback, and that's, I think, the blueprint for success for us.
So there's people out there that actually say you're injury prone. Do you believe that?
I mean, I think everybody in the NFL, they can make that case. It's just a fan's way of coping with a player leaving or a player not playing well or a player missing a few games. If you look across any sport, guys miss games sometimes because it's a physical toll on your body. I don't think I'm injury prone. I mean, if you look at the amount of games I played over the years I've been in the league,
right,
I think I'm doing pretty well. But hey, I got to go out there and be healthy. Place all 16 games this year is always the goal, and that's why we're heading right back to Florida tomorrow to start training again.
I hate to say it though, it was for us as Cardinal fans, we were able to take advantage of you because I think if you were healthy, I don't know if it's going to be that easy to sign you. And yet the injury issue for you last year kind of benefits the Cardinals. Do you have anything to prove to the NFL that kind of thought, hey, we can get Justin Pugh a little cheaper?
100%. You know, I definitely have that chip on my shoulder. I want to go out there and prove, and I want to win games. I mean, I haven't won games. You know, I went to the playoffs one time in New York in 5 years. So at the end of the day, all I care about is winning. Winning's going to make everything better. We were 11-5, went to the playoffs the 1 year in New York, and that was the best year I've had. So I'm excited to go out there and win games And, you know, if I win, if not I win games, if we win games, good things happen across the board, you know. Everyone will be happy. Everyone will be happy with everyone's performance because the fans will be happy.
How's the offensive line gelling? How's it coming together, right? You got a couple of new mates, one on your left, one on your right. How's it going?
I love this group. Everyone's great in the room, the demeanor, the way we go out there and work, how we get things done. We got a lot of veteran guys in the room, some two 10-year vets, a 9-year vet. I'm the young guy at 6 years, and then DJ is obviously the baby of the group. But, you know, I love the way they come to work and the way they prepare, and, you know, I'm really, really excited to get out there and play some real games and put the pads on with these guys.
Offensive lineman Justin Pugh joining Doug and Wolf. This is a big-time setup here, I admit it. But you do not seem like the type of guy where people put words in your mouth. So, therefore, I know what I'm going to get when I ask this question, but everybody is talking so positively about Josh Rosen. Rip him. Is there, I mean, he's a rookie. Rip him. Is there something you have to rip him about?
Right now, he's got a terrible haircut. He asked me for a barber the other week, and I was back on the East Coast that week we had off, and he's like, "Do you have a barber?" And I'm like, "Man, it's been 2 weeks. Like, you still haven't got your haircut?" I'm like, "Come on, man." So, which is a good thing you want to hear about your quarterback, because he's probably spending so much time in this building getting ready to go out there and be prepared. And
like,
go out there
I guess execute. A low-level diva factor if he doesn't care about the hair that much right now.
I told him, I said, we'll find you a barber here eventually, man.
But you are impressed, it sounds like.
When he walked into the huddle, the way he carried himself was one of the most impressive things I've seen. Obviously, I've been in the huddle with one quarterback almost my whole career, mm-hmm. and then back to Ryan Nassib in college. He came in there with a swagger, a demeanor, a confidence that you love to see in a quarterback. And then he went out there and started executing. Then he went out there and started making some beautiful throws. And don't get me wrong, then Sam Bradford comes in this week and starts throwing darts like it's like – and you realize why we have some competition in that quarterback room, which is a great thing. You always want to be pushed. You always want to have a guy that – you know, could potentially take your spot because then you're on it there and you're playing your best ball, and then that's what it's all about.
You ready to be psychoanalyzed right now?
Oh, boy.
Are you ready right now?
Justin, we'll see.
Power scheme or zone scheme?
Either.
That's good, boy. That was good.
I mean, like, I enjoy pulling and getting out in space. I think that helps me. But I also think I can climb, get to the second level, get on these linebackers. Whatever David feels most comfortable running, we're gonna make it work for him. And obviously, I think he probably will say it vice versa. He's like, I can run any scheme, do anything. So it makes our job a lot easier up front.
What kind of face mask do you don't wear?
I'm wearing the Vices helmet right now.
Really?
Which, like, it's kind of like a weird face mask. It's a little bit wider. It's like one of those. It's the top-rated helmet we have. So that's something I'm not really worried about the face mask too much. I'm just worried about, like, when I'm going and pulling and hitting these linebackers that are now the size of me.
It's a full cage, though, right? I mean, it's a full cage, right? Yeah, of course.
No center bar down the middle, though.
Okay, no center bar down the middle.
No center bar, no.
Oh, so is that, you know what? I've got to take a look at that. I think I saw you with it the other day, as a matter of fact, right? But it's narrower, right?
It is narrow. I got a lot of coverage.
You can't get jigged in the eye, right?
No.
Has anyone ever done that to you, by the way?
In a pile, I had someone try to get me in the eye.
Are you serious?
But it wasn't. I mean, in the pile, anything goes. I mean,
does it still? Is that still? And look at it. I played 1985 to 1995, and I can tell you, it wasn't just the pile. It was also walking around, getting face to face. Somebody jig you in the eye before you even saw it.
Not replay.
I know. But now with the replay and all that, I think we're a little bit safer out there from some of the dirty stuff that went on back in the day.
What about you?
I appreciate you going through that for us. So now I reap the benefits.
What about you? Do you got a little nasty in you? Do you feel that when you play?
I mean, that's definitely where I'm. I like to find out where I'm at on the totem pole. Like, I don't care if I'm not the top guy on the totem pole, but let me just find out where I'm at in that pecking order. And, you know, everyone's got to prove to me every day where they're at on the totem pole. So that's kind of my mindset when I go out there. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you played. When we step between those lines,
you're going
to
brawl.
You got to prove it to me.
You've been in the business long enough to know. Does David Johnson's absence really hurt? Is it not a big deal? Is it? No, David, where are you? I mean, what is the truth when a guy misses minicamp?
If you would have asked me this question like 2 years ago, I probably would have gave you a different answer. Yep. But now that I've been through free agency and saw what the business side of this sport is like, and if you do get injured, what can happen and the potentials of that happening, I will never tell a guy not to take care of his family. I will never tell a guy, you know, what he should and shouldn't do. We love to have him here. He's an unbelievable player. He's one of the best, if not the best, running back in the NFL. He's going to make our team better. that's above my pay grade. I hope they get that thing figured out. We have 31 out here running around, catching balls, running the ball, because he makes us a better football team. That's for damn sure.
Great to talk to you.
Buddy, seriously. Appreciate you guys. Man.
Absolutely. Justin Pugh just failed in life because he did a good job interviewing, and now we're going to bother him all the time throughout the season. You should have stumbled your way through that. You would have avoided us asking for you more often. There's Justin Pugh, the new guard for the Arizona Cardinals. Coming up next, minicamp around the NFL, and Belichick shocked the Patriots. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.